fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Did you know that rare diseases aren't actually that rare? In fact, about 1 in 12 people have a rare disease. Around 50% of these rare diseases are associated with motor, sensory or intellectual impairment. And with today being Rare Disease Day, we've got Karen Molster to tell us more. Welcome to Fitter Happier, Karen.
Many thanks. Great to be here.
And happy International
Rare Disease Day.
Let's talk about them. A staggering 1 in 12 people have a rare disease. But what is a rare disease?
Good question. So a rare disease can be defined in a couple of ways. I guess the main way is that it has a prevalence or a frequency in the population of 1 in 2,000 or less. So this could be from 1 in 2,000, like cystic fibrosis, or it could be 1 in a million, like trichohepatoenteric syndrome.
Say that three times.
So although each rare disease is unique, they share many common features, and this is another way that they're defined. So they often require complex care and treatment because they affect multiple systems in the body. So you might have one rare disease and it affects your lungs, your heart, your nervous system and your muscle development, for example.
So what makes it rare is not necessarily that it doesn't affect hundreds of people, it's that it's can be rare to that particular person because of genetics and stuff like that, or is it more, I guess, that it can't catch?
Yeah.
Is that why it makes it rare?
No, because there are some infectious rare diseases.
Okay.
But most of them, like 80% of them, have a genetic component, so they are associated with unique features about a person's genetic makeup. But I guess the way they're defined is the frequency in the population and the fact that they are complex, they're chronic, they last a lifetime, however many are life-threatening, and many people with rare diseases die in childhood. They're degenerative, so the systems get worse across time, and many onset during childhood, but there are some that onset during adulthood.
So we've kind of talked about it being called a rare disease, even though lots of people may have it. But I want to talk about childhood, saying, you know, some people don't make it through childhood. But I think we should talk about the misdiagnosis of them as well, because how do you pick it up?
Yeah. Okay, so firstly I'll just tell you why so many people have them when they're rare.
Yeah, sure.
So it's because there's approximately 6,000 rare diseases. So if you add up all the people that have each individual rare disease, we estimate there's about 6 to 8% of the population, so 1 in 12 people. So if you think about just the children in WA who have a rare disease, they would fill Optus Stadium.
Oh, so wow.
It's when you look at it at a global perspective, we're dealing with a lot of people in the WA community. So, yes, they're often misdiagnosed and incorrectly diagnosed. So in a study we conducted of Australian adults living with rare diseases, a third of them waited 5 or more years for a diagnosis, 2/3 had to see 3 or more doctors to get a diagnosis, and 45% had received at least one incorrect diagnosis. So rare disease patients commonly refer to going on a diagnostic odyssey through the health system. And some contributing factors to this are the complexity and rareness of each condition. But another contributing factor is the structure of the health system. So there's a lot of fragmentation, and medical specialists have tended to operate in silos, so they don't necessarily talk to one another. And they see people as individual body parts or body systems rather than a whole person. And so a diagnosis is extremely important to people living with rare diseases because firstly it gives a name or a label to the symptoms that they've been experiencing. So it can create greater certainty for their future and knowing what the prognosis might be for the condition. It can ensure they have access to the right care and treatments and access to funding for health and non-health services like education and disability services. And lastly, it can allow people to connect to others who have the same conditions so they can share their experiences and support one another.
I guess that's a really important part of it, you know, like letting people know that they're not the only one going through this. Is where, as rare as it may be, there is, you know, help out there. So let's talk about 6 to 8% of the population are affected by rare diseases, but they're not, you were just saying, they're not necessarily diagnosed correctly or properly straight up. Is there anything that can be done about that to try and increase earlier diagnosis?
Yeah, this is a really important issue, and I think it's something that can be addressed by making changes to the health system so that the system better meets the needs of people living with rare diseases. So an example of how we're doing this in WA is that in recent years we've established the Undiagnosed Diseases Program. So this program is based at Genetic Services WA and tries to find answers for people who have been long-term undiagnosed. So initially the program has been available for children who are at least 6 months of age, have chronic complex health conditions which may affect multiple body systems, and have had multiple hospital admissions and specialist assessments. So the core component of the program is really what's called the expert panel, and this is where multiple specialists come together from different areas. So it might be neurology, genetics, dermatology, oncology, so a range of them. And they come together so that they're all in one room and they review the medical case of the person and then make recommendations of a way forward to try and achieve a diagnosis. So it's addressing that structural issue of fragmentation and siloing in the health system, and they've had incredible success in achieving diagnosis for most of the children that have gone through that program.
I feel really excited about that. I don't, just as you were talking about that, I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's a really great program, and I'd like to give credit to Dr. Gareth Bainham, who's a clinical geneticist and who started the program, and he's an amazing guy who's doing everything he possibly can to help diagnose and treat people with rare diseases.
Amazing, amazing work. But now let's talk about 80% or around 80% of cases have genetic association. Is there a way to identify these cases possibly before they're even picked up or before, you know, someone has to suffer?
Yes, there are ways of diagnosing genetic diseases. So there's a couple of options. You can either have a genetic test, which will test for a single gene, or you can have a genomic test, in which case many genes are tested at the same time. So the difficulty is that for a clinical geneticist to make a diagnosis, they first need to identify what they think that diagnosis might be and then select the right genes to be tested. And that's complicated by the complexity of the conditions and the rareness of each disease. So we can't expect our health professionals to know all about all the 6,000 rare diseases that there are. But I think we can make changes to the health system to try and improve the chances of making a genetic diagnosis, such as the Undiagnosed Diseases Program, where one of the recommendations can often be further genetic testing to increase the chance of diagnosis.
To delve a little bit deeper into it. So on a day like today, Rare Diseases Day, what can people do to get involved?
In rare diseases, if they're a person living with a rare disease and they need to be put in touch with other people with rare diseases, they could always contact somebody like the Genetic and Rare Diseases Network, which is a network of support groups for people living with rare diseases. And there's a national organisation called Rare Voices Australia, which is a consumer-based organisation as well. So they're the two main areas I'd recommend for consumers. In terms of finding out more information, they could check the Healthy WA website, which is healthywa.wa.gov.au, or the Department of Health website, www.health.wa.gov.au.
Karen, thank you so much for coming on Fitter Happier today to give us a little bit more of an insight into rare diseases. I was actually blown away at the statistics and a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you wouldn't exactly know without delving a little bit deeper into it.
Great. Thanks very much for having me.